The sermon this morning comes from Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. That's Luke 18, starting with verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Now he was telling them a parable to show that all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you, that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Pray with me. Father, help us now as we reveal our hearts to you. We come and we ask you to show us the defects in our heart, to show us the lack of faith that we have, to show us the lack of faithfulness in our actions. And we pray for the work of your Holy Spirit, that you will change us, that you will direct us, and that you will be glorified as we think of you properly. And as we think of you properly and love you properly, we will obey you properly. And that you will take pleasure in us as we take pleasure in you. Please bless us to these ends now. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When do you lose heart? When do you give up? When do you throw up your hands and say, that's it. Nothing I do is going to matter anyway. Sometimes we do it with one another. We try and we try and we try, or we just try a bit and say, nothing's going to help them. Nothing's going to change them. I've done everything that I can do. The circumstance that we look at here, we see that the people are in a position where they imagine that something or someone, there is some opponent coming against them, doing injury to them. Jesus takes their situation as the Romans are over them, as there's been enmity and strife put between the seed of the woman and the seed of the man. There is tension and there is struggle in your house. There is tension and there is struggle between roommates, between spouses, between children and parents, between husband and wife. There is tension. Perhaps in these situations you have cried out and you said, help me. And nothing happened. You've cried out, help me. And nothing happened. Maybe you've gone on for days. Maybe you've gone on for years. Maybe you've gone on for decades. And you've thrown up your hands and say, nothing helps. We look at this parable, and this parable would be a bit confusing if it hadn't been given this introduction saying what we ought to do specifically. We would look and say, how's God like an unrighteous judge? God's not like an unrighteous judge. This is an argument from lesser to greater. The judge is the lesser, that even if this unrighteous one will do the right thing, how much more will God himself do the right thing for you, his people? So from that place, we're told, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't be a loser. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a coward. Don't be the sort that loses faith. Because our faith is not in ourselves. but our faith is in the righteous judge who does hear. He listens. He cares. He's interested. And Christ speaks here and says, and he will answer you at the perfect time. Many of us have seen those scenarios where someone takes a caterpillar that's going to turn into a butterfly and they put it into that jar. One book tells a story of this teacher who had done that, and they had all of these jars set out and they're watching, and one of them was struggling. And so they reached in and they pulled apart the cocoon to help this butterfly, and it ruined it. Its wings were shriveled and mangled. And the teacher looked at this butterfly and didn't know what to do. The other butterflies flew away. But this one, she took out and just set it outside. And later that day when they went out for recess, she just saw this struggling thing with wrinkled wings crawling down the road, soon to die for sure. In the midst of your struggles, God is working something. In your tensions and now, he's working something to accomplish something in you that you will stretch your wings and you will be more beautiful and you will survive and you will glorify him even better. When he doesn't answer, this is what is happening for you. So God says, Christ says, keep praying. Keep praying and do not lose heart. Our first step is to hold fast to the spiritual reality. Verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable. A parable comes out and it's given to us. It's this worldly picture to reveal a spiritual reality. The worldly picture will always fall short. It'll always break apart. If you keep chasing after it and try to pull out every nuance of it, it's not all going to make sense. But the spiritual reality is that God is here and that he is present. We sang Psalm 24, that God has made everything. He is over everything. We go to Hebrews chapter 11, seeing the essence of faith there. We also see the reality in Hebrews 11:3 that everything that we see is held together by the Word of God. That is the spiritual reality. The enemies that you are facing, or those opponents who are coming against you, maybe robbing you of joy or putting more pressure on you than you can appreciate, God is even holding them together right now. Even in the midst of your conflict, that is the spiritual reality. God is there. He is over your circumstances. He is governing, controlling, restraining your circumstances to give you precisely what you need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the place of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When someone is pounding on you and applying pressure to you, you think it's just them. It's not just them. God is present, supplying that pressure. It's not just what you see. And even what you see is less than what you don't see. The spiritual reality that is present. And that puts you in the place where you can respond appropriately to the tensions and the pressures that are there. It's not this sinful person who's just pushing on you and pushing your buttons and getting you angry. In those moments, it's time to step back and say, God is showing me something. He's revealing something about my character. He's teaching me something about my heart. And he would have me respond in accordance with true love for him and true love for my neighbor. Hebrews 11:6, that statement that we must believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. In the midst of your tensions and your trials, your problems, children, if you feel like your parents are pushing too hard on you, it's not them. But God would ask you, how should you respond? in the light of eternal reality, in light of what the scripture says. Spouses, when the pressure is on you, how would Christ have you respond in light of what he has said? For those of us who are currently called to singleness and you feel the tensions and the pressures, Christ says, how ought you respond in these circumstances, in what you are called to? How do you seek me? How do you love me? As God is a rewarder of those who seek him. Scripture tells us that no discipline in the moment is pleasant, but we understand that it's bringing something about in us. It's bringing faith about in us. We understand that our own perception is off and off. You being mortal, you only able to see so far. You can't even see an hour from now. You cannot see tomorrow. You can't see what's happening on the other side of a building. You can't see what's happening at the bend around the bend in the road. But Christ already knows what's there. He knows what is going to happen, and he has spoken to you with that full knowledge, telling us specifically how to respond in the light of eternity. Our perception is off. A highway may not look icy, but it is. Parents may seem cruel, but when they're being truly loving, it may seem as if we don't have enough strength to overcome a circumstance, but Christ is our strength, and we don't realize true strength until we've actually come to the end of ourselves. This is the spiritual reality over all of your physical circumstances and your life. And the worst part might be when it seems as if God does not care or hear. But he tells us he does. That is the spiritual reality. He hears, he sees, and he cares. So, as we stand in that spiritual reality, the second step is to order your prayers. By order your prayers, I mean set up your priorities in your praying. We could look at this, the silliest aspect, and just say, don't just pray for cookies, for example. Don't just pray for comfort, for example. Don't just pray for the things that you want and the things that you think you need and the things that would give you pleasure. Psalm 5:3, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you. It is, you'll actually prioritize your prayers. Praying for those things that are most necessary, those things that are best. We look at the scripture and we see those things that are best. When we stand with the Pharisees, we're in a bad spot. Here's Jesus' rebuke of the Pharisees in Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint, dill, and cumin and neglect the weightier provisions of the law. Justice and mercy and faithfulness. That faithfulness, we can just take that as faith there. And I think that's a good rendition of the text. You reject the weightier matters. Mercy, justice, and faith. These are the weightier matters of the law. This is telling us that as we would order our prayer, these would have top priority. Faith. Our relationship with Christ. Justice. Scripture actually says God's throne, its foundation, is justice. We're told in the scripture never to let kindness and truth leave us. This can actually be a summary of the Ten Commandments. The first four being about faith and faithfulness, our relationship with Christ. The next being about justice and fairness and kindness towards one another. We order our prayers. We don't give up praying, but we pray without ceasing to the weightier matters of the law. It's expressed in the same way in Micah 6:8, a favorite passage. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness. And there's the second tablet of the law. And back to the first tablet. And to walk humbly with your God. We pray without ceasing. But we order our prayer seeing the weightier matters of the law, the things that Christ has actually called us to: godliness, justice, and kindness, to say it another way. Our next step, number three, set apart real time to pray. So I could just say time to pray, and we could shrug and say, I pray all the time. What is real time in your mind? If you want someone to spend time with you, what do you want? Think of someone you want to spend time with. What do you want? What do you want that to look like? Christ loves you. He's proven it. He wants to spend time with you. What would that look like then if you spent real time with Christ? Verses 6 and 7. Let's see. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night, and will he delay longer over him? This day and night, this is the all the time. This is the praying without ceasing, but it's real and it's committed. So sit down and pray with no other agenda. Or go for a walk and pray with no other agenda. Or actually kneel down and pray with no other agenda. Express your heart to him. He desires this. Seek him in the morning, as the Psalms instruct us and tell us. In that familiar passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So often many of us say, I wish I knew God's will. I wish I knew what he wanted. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. And I think we would find that's a stepping stone to the next thing that he wants for you. Our next step, number four, is do not lose heart. Verse 1 again. He was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought not to pray and not lose heart. He asked the question then in verse 8. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Here's the sad question. I'm not saying if you lose heart. I'm saying when you lose heart. And the Son of Man came back now, would he find faith? Do you really believe that he is, if you've lost heart? Do you really believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, if you've lost heart? If you've lost heart, you've lost faith. And I ask the question then where is your faith? Where is your hope? Where is your confidence? Have you sinned and fallen short by putting your faith in someone else, your hope in someone else to satisfy you and to fill you? Where is your faith? Have you lost it? Where did you lose it? Where was the last time you had it? What did you trade it for? A person, an expectation, a lost dream, a lost hope for comfort. Where is your faith? Where is your hope? Where is your prayer life? Where is your time with Christ? Where is your heart? Where do you lose faith? He told them this parable so that at all times they would know they ought to pray and not lose heart. What does this look like? It looks like continuing to ask in verse 1. They ought to pray and not lose heart, or they ought to pray at all times. What is faith as we would hold on to it? It is the assurance of things hoped for. Isn't that where you've lost it? When you haven't got the things that you hoped for. Isn't that where you set your faith somewhere else or you turned your back on it? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Where have you lost heart? Isn't it because you gave up on your hopes? Your expectations. The expectations of Christ doing great things for you. Isn't this where we fall short? Isn't this where we lose heart and we stop asking? Our sixth step is keep asking and trust His justice. Verses 6 and 7 again. And the Lord said, hear what the righteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for His elect who cry to Him day and night? And will He delay long over them? We look at our prayer, and are you praying for justice? Are you praying for what is right? Are you informed in accordance with His Word? Is He telling you? Are you looking to see, this is what He says, this is what He says is right? And we come and we pray the mind of Christ, knowing that at the appropriate time, we will have exactly what we need. And here's a mind bender for you. You already have exactly what you need. It's not that next thing. That's not what you need. You have what you need. You have the foundation of Christ Jesus. You have His certain love. You have His eternal peace. You have His eternal presence. And if you think, if I just had this one thing, or if this one person would just treat me this way, or if I had just this element in my relationship, then I would be good. No, you wouldn't. If you wouldn't be good in your current circumstances, you wouldn't be good if He gave you the next thing. If you think, I would honor my mother and father if they would just. No, you wouldn't. Your disobedience and your rebellion is the response of your heart. If you think, I would deal with my wife kindly if she would just respect me. No, you wouldn't. You already have what you need. If you think, I would respect my husband if he would just love me. No, you wouldn't. Because what you're doing is flowing from your heart. If you think I could love my roommate, if they would just do this, no, you wouldn't. If you think I would be good and full if I just had a spouse, no, you wouldn't. You have already been given everything that you need. Your sin, your rebellion is not a product of your circumstance. It is the product of your own heart. So we come and we keep asking, not just that Christ would change our opponents and change our adversaries, but we pray that He would do that work on us in the midst of our circumstance, knowing He gives us exactly what we need. We look and we see the unrighteous judge, and he does justice because someone was bugging him. In your circumstance, are you thinking, he's not giving me justice, and he won't? Can't you look at the cross and see Christ is more committed to justice than you are? The Heavenly Father is more committed to justice than you are. He is more committed to kindness and compassion and grace than you are. Then can you imagine that you can be in your circumstances and say, He won't do it for me? He won't do what's right. He won't give me what I need. We step back and we look and we see. He is giving you what you need. And on top of that, He says, and I will give you justice. I will hear you. Do not lose hope. Do not lose heart. Keep praying. Pray without ceasing. Come day and night in faith, remembering that He is and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. Keep seeking Him and do not lose heart. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for hearing us, for caring, for giving us justice. Father, help us to see our own discontent and our own anger and our own malice and our own fears, not as a result of what You have supplied, but as a result of our own lack of faith. God, bless us with hearts to believe, hearts to trust You, hearts to ascend Your hill in Christ Jesus, and hear us and give us rescue. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.